We need to understand from our passage the nature of the Word of God, because there's a lot of Word of Men. There's a lot of churches out there where these guys come out, they sit in their little stools, they give you a couple Bible verses, they say a few things, but there's no conviction of sin. There's no reproof. There's no correction. There's just a little biblical pep talk.
Well, thanks for joining us for this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And today we continue our detour from our study in Nehemiah, and we turn to a wonderful passage.
Yes, we do, Dave, and that passage is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And oh, what a wonderful passage it is. So let's get right to our study. Turn with us to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, if you have stepped into the doors of a evangelical church lately, you might be quite surprised to see what goes on in the dark areas of those churches as the lights are down and the music blares and the pastor comes on behind his little chair and shares a little bit with you for a couple minutes of biblical truth. You might be surprised at what happens in churches these days as churches desire to be filled with people. They maybe desire people to get saved, whatever it might be, but desire to fill it. And most people don't want to hear God's word. They want to be entertained. They want to have something that will affect their life now, a Jesus that will be for them now. Well, the Apostle Paul shared in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Jesus Christ is for this life only, we are of all men to be pitied. It's much more than just what God does in transforming someone here, but yet we're going to see that transformation only comes through the Word of God, from the God of the Word, by His Spirit working in the yielded heart. Now, we've been going through the book of Nehemiah, and we have seen that the walls have been restored. They've been built up, and now we're moving toward that section where the people are going to be restored, and we're looking at how that is done. It's done through a yearning for the Word of God, a desire to be in it. It's done through the Word being preached and then taught and explained, expounded upon. It's done through people responding, being convicted and corrected, and then going out and obeying the Lord, as we read part of that today. And so, as I mentioned last week, I wanted to share a couple passages from the New Testament to supplement what we're looking at in Nehemiah. And Lord willing, we'll be back in Nehemiah chapter 8 next week. Would you turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17? And this is one of those passages I consider it right to remind you. I usually preach it every year, but it hasn't been since 2018, so it's been a while. So hopefully we've had it on our hearts, we've remembered it, and today we'll get a remembrance of it. The Apostle Peter would say, I consider it right to remind you these things. Paul would talk about that too. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And now I want to share the context here. In verse 2, we see the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. And what do we know about Timothy? We know that Scripture reveals that he was a native of Lystra and Derbe. Those are in the province or the area of Galatia, two little towns in that area. His mother was a Jew by the name of Eunice. His grandmother was also Jewish. Her name is Lois. And they were both saved, as we'll see. And evidently his father was a Greek. Now, he had not been circumcised until he journeyed with Paul, and thus that was an indication that he was probably educated in the Greek culture. Now, we also know from chapter 1 and chapter 3 that he was educated informally by his mother and his grandmother, from whom he had learned the truth concerning salvation through faith in Christ from the scriptures that were shared with him. And we don't know when exactly Timothy came to Christ, but it was most likely through his mother and grandmother. That's what Paul implies in the passage right before we'll see today. But indeed, by the time the Apostle Paul had met him in Acts 16, he had already become a disciple of the Lord and was such a proven young man in the faith that the Apostle Paul wanted to take Timothy with him. Now, I don't know if we really remember or understand the extent to which Timothy was useful to the Apostle Paul and how much he was a blessing to him. Paul speaks of him as a son in the Lord, a son in the faith, a true child. He speaks of him as his brother, his co-worker, fellow servant, fellow slave. He was with Paul in Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Corinth, and in Ephesus and Rome. He's associated with Paul in the writing of some of his epistles, his 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 2nd Corinthians, Colossians, Philippians, and when Paul wrote Romans, Timothy was there as well. He was of great use to the Apostle Paul in the Philippians, as we see, because he was willing and faithful to do whatever the Apostle Paul wanted him to do. He was faithful. Now, what do we know about the book of 2 Timothy? Well, as I've shared, it was written by Paul to Timothy, likely sometime around 66-67 AD. And now, the Apostle Paul, chapter 116, he is imprisoned as a criminal. He's in chains. So this is not like his house arrest in Rome we see in the end of Acts. This was during Nero's great persecution. And apparently Paul understood that he was going to be executed soon. He understood that. Look down a little farther. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Make every effort to come to me soon. He's writing his last words to Timothy, and thus these are very, very important. Now, history puts the beheading at Paul sometime between 66 and 67 AD, so it's very close to when this was written. He shares, inspired by the Spirit, that it's done. It's time. Now, the Apostle Paul's last words to his faithful child in the faith, his beloved fellow bondservant, the most important thing we're going to see is what Paul wanted to tell Timothy here. That's the most important thing. What he shares with him, think about it. If you are dying, I don't know if you ever thought about this, what would you share with your family if you knew you were going to die? You would share what is most important to you. And the Apostle Paul is sharing what is most important to him. And we're going to see in context, there's all this stuff going on, Timothy, but you stay in the Word of God. There's all these bad guys doing these things, but you stay in the things that you've learned. Stay in the Word of God, Timothy. Preach the Word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. And so we have in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Timothy is encouraged concerning his faith and calling. He's encouraged not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or Paul, his servant, but instead he is to retain the standard of sound words and guard the treasure that was entrusted to him in the midst of persecution. That's the Word of God. In chapter 2, Timothy was encouraged to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, to entrust the Word of God to faithful men who will teach others, to suffer hardship, to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And it's because of Christ that Paul suffers and endures. And although he's imprisoned, the Word of God is not imprisoned. And he further encouraged Timothy in chapter 2 not to wrangle about words, but to be a workman in the Word, unashamed, handling accurately God's truth. He was to avoid ungodly and worldly talk that spreads like gangrene. And in a large house, there are honorable things and dishonorable things. And he is exhorted to be a useful vessel to the master, having fled youthful lusts and not being quarrelsome but gentle, correcting those in opposition. And then we come to chapter 3. And we see the horrifying reality that difficult times will come. Let's read that together. This goes up to our passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You read that, you think, man, I can spot this guy a mile away. Probably like Adolf Hitler or somebody, right? Well, notice what he says next. Holding to a form of godliness. There's an external godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these. There's going to be a messed up world with people who are totally self-motivated, who hold a form of godliness. And guess what? These people are going to mess with believers. They're going to mess with the church. Notice what he says here. For among them are those who enter into households, captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. This implies they seem to be biblical or whatever it might be. They're in the word or whatever. They're learning, but they're never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And they're doing their wickedness and evil. And he says here, and just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, we have those we see back in Numbers, you know, and also Exodus, those who opposed Moses. They questioned his leadership. They called him to the mat, and the Lord took care of them. Jannes opposed Moses. So these men also opposed the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected as regards the faith, but they will not make any further progress, for their folly will become obvious to all, as also that of those two came to be. And then he's going to say, but you, Timothy, he's going to remind him what you did and then what he should do. But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And I love this statement. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. It's emphatic. Paul's saying it emphatically. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But guess what? In contrast, evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, not like these wicked men, but you in contrast, Timothy, however, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from where you've learned. He's going to talk about the Word of God. Continue in the Word of God. And here's where you first heard it, Timothy. And from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom, which leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. In contrast to the bad guys, Timothy, continue in the things that you have learned. He's speaking of the Word of God. Continue in that, Timothy, because things are going to get bad. It's going to get bad religiously. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. Bad stuff, but you continue in the things that you have learned. And so we come to our passage, which I just read. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You see, because the world of the imposters and the unrighteous are going to say, this is what you need to follow Jesus. You need these things. And in contrast to that, it's the Word of God that builds you up. It's the Word of God that equips you for everything. Timothy, you stay in that. And within this exhortation that we have, and then the exhortation to preach that word, we have an explanation of the power of God's word coming from a powerful God to transform us, to make us like Jesus Christ. And so here, we need to understand, first of all, from our passage, the nature of the Word of God. Because there's a lot of word of men. There's a lot of churches out there where these guys come out, they sit in their little stools, they give you a couple Bible verses, they say a few things, but there's no conviction of sin. There's no reproof. There's no correction. There's just a little biblical pep talk, which may be true. And people come out and say, hey, it was biblical. Well, was it really biblical? And that's what we're going to see today. Because if God's word is coming forth, it's going to do something. It is profitable for something. And if that is not happening, then something is very wrong with the one who is bringing it forth to you. And so here, take a look at it. Notice, first of all, the nature of God's word. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. Like I said, we're going to see in Nehemiah that these chapters 8 and 9 and further are just laced with the truth of God's word being read. God's word coming forth. God's word is at the core of their restoration. And that's at the core of our restoration. If we are faltering, if we are troubled, if we are not doing well in our walk with Christ, if the walls are torn down, the bricks are all over, the debris is everywhere, God will rebuild you through His Word if you're willing to allow it to happen. And like we saw last week, we saw very clearly that we need to be yearning for the pure milk of the Word. And we'll see in Nehemiah 8 that they called Ezra to come bring them the Word. They had the desire. And you're going to see, if you want to grow in Christ, you want to be changed, then you need to have the desire to get into a biblical church and get out of those terrible churches and get in the Word of God, because that's the only way you're going to be changed. So he says all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. And this is in contrast to evil men and imposters who proceed from bad to worse. But you, Timothy, stay in the things you've learned. You've heard them from childhood, the sacred writings, graphe, the Word of God, which is able to give you the wisdom and knowledge to come to faith and salvation through Jesus Christ. Stay in that. And then he goes to say, all Scripture. He's speaking of God's very Word. The term Scripture here is the Greek word graphe. It speaks of the written Word. It's where we get our word graphite, which we have pencils made out of, right? It's speaking of the written Word. And earlier we saw the sacred writings. They were the hieros grammata. They were sacred. They were set apart. They're holy. They're from God. It's the Word of God. And so Scripture is the written Word. Now we're going to see that God has brought His revelation to the place at the point of the end of the apostles, the foundation of the church, where it is through the written Word that is builds up the body of Christ, that He is no longer speaking in many ways and many portions, Hebrews chapter 1, but He has completed that revelation through the apostles and prophets being the foundation of the church. And there it is sufficient. We need to know and understand that it is the written Word that is assured as God's Word. It is God's very Word. All Scripture is inspired by God. This is a cognitive word, theopneustos. It speaks of God and breathed out by God. It's God breathed literally from His mouth. It is His Word. It's not simply words on a page. God spoke this truth, and we'll see later on how He did that and how we have received this truth. It is God's Word, and we need to remember that. When someone speaks to us, we need to understand who is speaking to us. And remember, this is God's Word when we see the word Scripture. All Scripture, not some Scripture, all Scripture is inspired by God or breathed out by God, not some, but all. It is all literally God breathed. We need to see that. You need to know that right away. You need to remember that. This is God speaking to us through the written Word of God, and He uses His Spirit to illumine and help us understand and teach us the Word of God. All Scripture. And again, as I mentioned, although He had spoken in many ways and many portions through the fathers and through the prophets, He has now spoken to us through His Son being the cornerstone, the apostles and prophets being the rest of the foundation, we having everything we need now for life and godliness. Indeed, the Old Testament times, we see that through the prophets, His Word was recorded. It was written. And we see that Jesus very clearly refers to all of the Old Testament as His Word. Take a look at Luke 24. Lord Jesus is going to say, first of all that is God's Word. That is all the written Word. Luke 24:25, and this is Jesus risen from the dead on the road to Emmaus with those dejected disciples walking away. And He has veiled Himself from their understanding who He is, and He is sharing the Word of God with them. And He said to them, chapter 24, verse 25 of Luke, and He said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself in what? In all the Scriptures. He began with the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets, and it's called Scripture. written word, the written word. We're going to see in Nehemiah that they asked Ezra to bring the word, the book of the lots, the written word, to bring it. Look down at verse 32 of Luke 24. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? A little farther on, verse 44, now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things that are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. That's a slang way of saying the whole Old Testament. He's saying the whole thing. He says it must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That's amazing. God opened their minds, Lord Jesus. So you have all scripture here. And it's interesting, all these scriptures, rightly divided in their context, point to Christ. I'm not saying that the on page 643 points to Christ. I'm saying that the context of what was written from God's word points to Jesus Christ. It points to Christ. Let me share something from John 5:39. John records the Lord Jesus reproving the Jews because they thought they were saved by the word and obeying it rather than by the God who is revealed in the word, Jesus Christ, you see? And so in John 5:39, he says, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. The word in and of itself doesn't save anyone. The word obeyed in and of itself doesn't save anyone. Jesus Christ saves. And the word points to Jesus Christ. It reveals a sufficient God and Savior. It reveals what he has done for us. And it is God breathed, inspired by God. Absolutely includes the Old Testament. But it also includes New Testament scriptures. You say, wait a second. Some people would say, well, you know, it's only the Old Testament that are the, quote, scriptures, right? Well, no, that's totally wrong. Take a look back at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy 5, 17. Because you'll have some that say, yeah, I believe that verse, but that's speaking of the Old Testament scriptures. Well, if that person is willing to listen, share the verses with them. If they're not, run away from them, okay? 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be considered of a double honor. That's in context, it's double pay, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while it's threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. The last quote here is from the Gospel of Luke. It's from Luke. And Paul says, the scriptures say this. He's calling the Gospel of Luke scriptures. And so take a look at 2 Peter chapter 3, because Peter is going to call Paul's writings scriptures. He's going to call them the written word. He's going to call that the written word. And we're going to see how God did that through mankind in a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Hey, why isn't God coming and bringing the judgment that he has promised for sin and sinners? Because he's patient and he's saving people. He's patient, not willing for any to perish, right? So regard that as patience, okay? And then he says here, just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, there is now an introduction on how people wrote the word of God.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, our view of God's Word is extremely important, or may I say it's absolutely crucial to have a right understanding.
Yes, Dave, it's extremely important to have the right understanding of God's Word. And as we've just begun, we've seen that God's Word is just that. It is God's Word. It is the Word of God. Well, we've just begun our look at this exciting passage, so please make plans to join us tomorrow for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.